This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Pets are living longer than ever. That's the upside to improved veterinary health care and nutrition. But with longevity, other health issues like chronic kidney disease become more prevalent. Chronic kidney disease is one of the most common causes of illness and death in our older pets. Even if your pet looks to be the picture of health, this insidious disease may still be affecting it. By knowing the subtle signs and appropriate screening test, you may not be able to prevent your pet from becoming a victim, but you could help it to experience as good a quality of life for as long as possible. My guest is Dr. Jane Robertson. She is board certified in veterinary internal medicine and director for medical affairs for IDEXX Laboratories. And you guessed it, one of her special interests, kidney disease. We'll be right back after the short break.
You know that feeling when you go to clean the litter box and it's a complete disaster? Yeah, we've got you covered. Introducing World's Best Cat Litter Zero Mess, the advanced litter that gives you 2 times better clumping and more odor control with less litter. Zero Mess combines the concentrated power of corn with superabsorbent plant fibers. Translation, scoop once and you're done. Find it at a pet store near you and save $2. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Robertson, thank you so much. This is sadly a condition that I see way too often in my own practice.
Yes, kidney disease is a very common disease in dogs and cats, and it can be quite serious, as you mentioned. About 1 in 3 cats and 1 in 10 dogs will develop some form of kidney disease in their lifetime. And so if you've got listeners out there with 3 cats, you know, chances are one of them has or will develop kidney disease. You know, statistics aren't always bang on, so you may have 1 cat, like myself, Digger. He's a 16-year-old, love of my life, but of course he has kidney disease, so it is a pretty common condition, especially in cats.
I've had my own in the same thing, and it is just so sad. I think for our listeners, number one, if you can just somewhat define what do kidneys do? I think most listeners, you know, will realize, okay, kidneys make urine. And what else do they do?
Well, kidneys are really important in your body for kind of balancing the water that you take in with what goes out. It's very important for balancing electrolytes, so the sodium and the potassium in your blood. They also are a way of getting rid of kind of byproducts of normal cell metabolism, so different kind of toxins that would build up in your blood if your kidneys didn't work very well. They're normally excreted from the kidneys. And believe it or not, they're actually very important also for creating a hormone that stimulates your bone marrow to make red blood cells. So if you have really bad kidneys, you can also become anemic. So they have a really vast number of important roles to play that to keep us healthy. And so when they fail, they can cause a wide variety of different problems in us as people as well as in our pets.
So you were saying that 1 in 3 cats will likely develop kidney disease if they live long enough. And then dogs, again, what was the number in dogs? 1 in?
It's about 1 in 10.
That's 1 in 10.
Yes.
So are there some risk factors that you're finding that certain breeds, we know that getting older definitely is a risk factor, but what are some of the other ones that may set a pet up for having kidney disease?
Well, first I did want to kind of distinguish between kind of chronic disease, which we do focus on, from the more even preventable causes of kidney disease as well. So as you know, things like toxicities, antifreeze, Easter lilies, especially in cats, grapes and raisins, which we wouldn't normally think of. These are things that actually can cause sudden acute kidney damage. So pet owners can definitely avoid access to some of these toxins. Some are, you know, kind of obvious, like antifreeze, but others not so much, you know, that we want to avoid our pets having access to. So I did want to mention those because I think they're really important and they can be very devastating. As you mentioned, more commonly, kidney disease does come on more slowly and cause chronic kidney disease. In cats, really, you know, other than some inheritable problems in like Abyssinians and maybe Persians, there's really nothing that you could probably do to help prevent it other than making sure that they always have access to water, watching your pets very closely for any signs of disease, which we can talk about in a little bit. But there's probably nothing specific you can do to prevent kidney disease. In dogs, they're probably a little bit more at risk of developing kidney disease secondary to some relatively common infections, depending on where your listeners live, like Lyme disease and some other tick-borne diseases. So some of the things like that your veterinarian recommends every year to check for tick diseases and putting them on tick prevention, those can be very helpful to help prevent kidney disease in dogs.
I find it always so fascinating that as our pets get older, and it's just, and it makes it even more difficult when you say, okay, your kitty has kidney disease and it also has an overactive thyroid, and yes, it has some liver issues. Our body is such a continuum of fine-tuning one organ affecting another organ. So what other conditions do pets have as they age that can really impact kidneys?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, older pets often develop a multitude of problems, especially older cats, because they like to live a nice long time if we're lucky. And they may be directly impacting the kidneys, or they may be two conditions that need to be managed together. So you mentioned a very important one, which was hyperthyroidism in cats, which is also a very common condition. And it's certainly not uncommon for a cat to have hyperthyroidism and chronic kidney disease together. And there probably is a bit of a direct relationship with high blood pressure and some of the things that thyroid disease can cause that might actually be causing damage to the kidneys.
You mentioned that you had your kitty Digger, who was 16, having kidney disease. And I'm going, okay, you know, the older cat. But I think older is somewhat relative. You get used to seeing your cat every day, and it's like, oh, you just remember that it was a kitten a year ago. In reality, it was a kitten maybe 8 years ago. So it's always being your baby. What's the age where we really should start paying attention as a pet owner that things might be going wrong internally?
Well, that's a tricky one, because one of the things that we have learned and is that I think kidney disease is, you know, is actually prevalent in animals of all ages. It just becomes more common in senior pets. And so we don't want to ignore the possibility of that occurring in even a young to middle-aged pet. So I believe in really even testing part of the yearly checkup, even in younger to middle-aged animals, to ideally include some diagnostic testing looking for routine problems, including kidney disease. And where I really pay particular attention is probably any animal even over 7 years of age is where I start to be concerned. But I think if you asked 10 veterinarians, you're going to get slightly different numbers. But I think we would all consider senior pets at higher risk, but we don't want to ignore the fact that younger pets can develop kidney disease as well.
I think it's somewhat similar to pets and people having cancer. Typically, we think of it's an older person, an older pet having cancer. And tragically, we know of babies who will have cancer, and we know of kittens who will have cancer, and puppies too. So you're right. These younger animals will always do a general blood panel before we spay a pet, one of the most common things we do to our younger animals. And rarely, thank goodness, will we find any issues. But you're right, checking on that proactive basis is so important. And oftentimes when I tell people, you know, I want to run this blood test and it comes back normal, I can almost hear the on the other end of the line. It's like, why did you run this test? Because it's normal. And I paid for nothing. It's like, well, when I get a mammogram done, I'm so glad when it comes back normal. So it is difficult.
I agree. We really do need to celebrate the normal. We're very focused at IDEX, who I work for, on preventive care, wellness testing, like I believe you are as well. And it's good news if the results come back normal. We're trying to find things early so that we can treat them while the pets are still healthy and before the disease becomes too serious.
You were talking about doing blood work and you're working for a diagnostic lab. It has been so frustrating in the past when I've been checking, you know, I'll have very proactive clients. We're doing blood work every year, maybe starting even before 7 years of age. And last year, the blood work was absolutely normal. And this year, I'm calling them and saying, oh, your dog has very advanced kidney disease. It's like, where did this come from? It really seems as though our hands have been tied because, as I've always understood, that a pet or a person needs to lose over 2/3 of their typical kidney function before the numbers that we usually look for start to go up.
Yes, that's correct. So the traditional diagnostics used for diagnosing kidney disease, the blood test, it actually required up to 75% loss of kidney function. And so IDEX, we have developed a new kidney test. It's called SDMA, or the IDEX SDMA test, and it's available to veterinarians and pet owners worldwide. And the major benefit of SDMA is that it identifies the onset of kidney disease in dogs and cats when there's only about, on average, 40% loss of kidney function and as little as 25% loss of kidney function. And so for chronic kidney disease, that could potentially mean finding the disease months or even years earlier than we would have been able to with our older test.
And as I've always been taught, once kidney disease starts to happen, there's really nothing that you can do. How does SDMA help? Is there a way that if you find these numbers are relatively increased, that there's something that you can do to reverse the kidney disease?
There's that hope or possibility for sure. I mean, right now when we diagnose kidney disease, it's so advanced that we usually can't find what triggered it in the first place. And with SDMA, we're finding it earlier. So the veterinarian has the, working with the pet owner, working with the veterinarian, you have the possibility of looking for, is there a kidney infection? Is there a stone? Is there another infection like Lyme disease in dogs? Something that I can actually treat and potentially even reverse. And even if you can't find, so you should look for something, but even if you can't find something, the good news is, you've got so much kidney function still left that the pet is not sick. So in the very least, you can start managing that disease more appropriately, which might be as simple as changing the pet's diet and really slow the progression of the disease. So the hope is that the pets are going to live much longer and healthier lives by diagnosing the disease earlier. Ideally finding an underlying cause, but if not, by managing that disease earlier, monitoring that pet more closely is going to have a long-term benefit.
We know that people can donate a kidney, and cats, dogs, people are all born with, most of us are born with two kidneys. So we're talking about kidney disease and talking about, you know, losing 40%. How can you then go ahead and donate a kidney and still be okay?
Well, the good news or bad news is we don't do a lot of donations in pets. So if we're talking about dogs and cats, kidney transplants are not that common. They're definitely done in, especially in cats. They're done at some really specialized referral centers, usually at the academic institutions. In dogs, there's still usually too much problem with rejection of the kidney that's not very commonly done unless it's a litter mate and they've tested to make sure the kidney is not going to be rejected. So that doesn't really not really an issue for us as veterinarians. We want to preserve the kidney function that we have, but certainly in people, they do a lot of advanced testing before someone donates a kidney to make sure that the kidney they are donating and the kidney that they have left are functioning completely normal. But those are, you know, probably more advanced testing that we would normally do in dogs and cats.
But I guess I'm also getting to the fact that here we're down 50%. You donate a kidney and they say that the kidney that you have left is okay, but now you are down 50% of what you started off life with and you can still do okay just with that 50%. So I guess I'm kind of getting to the fact that if you're catching with SDMA testing that you have an issue, though you've lost 40%, wow. You still have 60% that's left. That's even better than when you donate it. You still have, 60%.
Well, exactly. Yes. I mean, if we diagnose these animals earlier and we prevent their disease from progressing, then yes, they can live a very normal life. And that's what I was trying to get at as well, is that with the other tests, by the time you diagnose them and they're down 3/4 of their kidney function, they're usually already starting to feel sick and showing clinical signs. And with SDMA, the benefit of SDMA is you find kidney disease actually when you're not expecting it. Ideally, you want to find it on preventive or wellness blood testing or on a pre-anesthetic screen, ideally in a healthy animal that's feeling good and you're doing the testing to just make sure your pet is healthy. That's the best time to find evidence of kidney disease so that your pet can continue to feel healthy, hopefully for, months, if not years.
Well, speaking of time, I'm chatting right now with Dr. Jane Robertson. She is the Director of Internal Medicine at IDEXX Laboratories. We're going to take a little bit of time for a short break and be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Get the stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky. It's
healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
Dinovite. .com.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com. Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Robertson, before the break, we were talking about the progression of kidney disease and catching it early. And sadly, too often when a veterinarian is now catching it before, you know, we started using the SDMA test, that we'd have to say, oh, how, people would want to know how far along, how advanced is this kidney disease? And looking at numbers, we've now gotten into staging. I'd love to have you chat a little bit about IRIS, what IRIS is, and the staging that they do for kidney disease.
Sure. IRIS stands for the International Renal Interest Society, and it's a group of very well-respected veterinary nephrologists from around the world. And their goal is to really help veterinarians diagnose and manage chronic kidney disease and even acute kidney disease, but let's focus on chronic kidney disease in dogs and cats. And they have a staging guidelines. IRIS did actually add SDMA to their chronic kidney disease guidelines immediately after the test was available because they recognize that it's a valuable tool for the early diagnosis and management of kidney disease. And so their guidelines not only help you diagnose kidney disease, but then stage it as stage 1 through 4, with stage 1 being an animal that the traditional diagnostics would still be normal, and in those pets, SDMA can often be increased. And then in stage 2, that's when some of the older tests start to become increased, and the pet starts to show clinical signs. By stage 3, pets usually have clinical signs and not only need to be put on a special kidney diet, which is started in stage 2, but in stage 3, you know, that they often are put on other medications. So it gets a little more involved for the pet owner and for the pet. And then by stage 4, those are animals that have quite advanced kidney disease, and it does require, you know, a lot of intervention to keep those animals feeling as healthy as possible. And it does take a dedicated owner in those pets to give them all the treatments they need to, you know, to feel good. So the staging system is 1 to 4, and our goal is to ideally find these animals when they're in stage 1 or even early stage 2. And again, that's where the IDEX SDMA test can help in finding those pets in those early stages.
One of the real concerns I'll have sometimes with the diagnostic test, blood test that I run on pets, is it comes back and I look at this number and it's like, do I believe it or not? You know, is something else interfering with this particular test? Is the pet on a certain medication that may be involved in giving a skewed answer? So looking at this SDMA, trying to determine if a pet has kidney disease, oh, way back in that stage 1, which is a perfect time to find it, how accurate, how sensitive is this test?
It's very accurate and sensitive. It's been shown to, in studies, again, to really help diagnose kidney disease. But I do want to make one clarification. All these tests tell us how the kidneys are functioning at that moment in time. So it does not tell you if that animal has acute disease or chronic disease. And so that's why when you have an increased SDMA test, you really need to look, is this animal dehydrated? Is this animal have a kidney infection? Did that animal get into Easter lily or something? So you don't make a diagnosis of chronic kidney disease until you've ruled out acute kidney disease, and then make sure that the SDMA test, and if the other tests are up, that they stay persistently increased. So one of the things that I do like to educate not only pet owners on, but also veterinarians, is that you typically can't make a diagnosis of chronic kidney disease based on one assessment of the pet. You know, that typically takes at least 2 assessments of the pet while you kind of rule out some of the more acute causes and making sure that those changes on the blood work are persistent.
That's a perfect lead-in, because I was going to ask, so if it is elevated, we know that it is very specific, it's very accurate, we see this increased. So as I understand, just as I'd be working up a case even if I didn't have the access to SDMA, you do, you know, a whole flow pattern. Okay, how's it looking? How's it feeling? What's the history? You know, what's been going on at home? What other parameters do I see? So if you see an increased, I believe that IDEX has really recommended a whole program of IMM, so investigate to manage and to monitor.
Yes, that's correct. So the recommendation, again, is you're quite right, is to look for other evidence of kidney disease. It's really important to talk to the pet owner. Does the pet have clinical signs of kidney disease? And the most common sign a pet owner might notice is that they're drinking and urinating more. And has that been going on for some time, or did that just start? And then to do some of the additional testing that might help look for that underlying cause. And that might include, ideally, always a urinalysis should be done. And there should, and that looks at, it, can the kidney still concentrate the urine or not? Because that's one of the kidney's job. A urine culture might need to be done to look at for evidence of an infection. Maybe an x-ray looking for a stone or an ultrasound. So there's additional diagnostics that your veterinarian might recommend to look for what that underlying cause might be. And then after that's done, they're going to recommend management of that kidney disease. And depending on where you're at that point, they're going to recommend lots of access to free water. So my own cat loves, you know, a water fountain, dripping taps, a variety of water sources, you know, not the same nasty bowl that the dog is drinking out of. He wants his own clean water glass. So those are the things that pet owners can do. They can make tuna and clam juice ice cubes. So there's fun things that the owner can do, especially for a cat, to encourage them to drink more. And special diets, and we had, you and I mentioned also, if the blood happened to be done before, because the pet needed to have its teeth cleaned, for example, then precautions, additional precautions can be taken under anesthesia to make sure that we protect those kidneys to prevent any additional damage done to those kidneys. So there's lots of things that your listeners, veterinarians, can do to help look for an underlying cause and then manage that disease once it's found. And then monitoring is going to really be individualized, and your listeners, veterinarians, will, you know, look at the pet, look at how advanced the disease is, was there an underlying disease found, and then an individual monitoring plan will be established on when the pet needs to come back in and get its blood work rechecked.
I'm so glad that you brought up, you know, teeth anesthesia, because one of the things I'm always harping on my clients is you got to keep those teeth in good condition. Because, well, you know, I've had pets for 20 years and I've never had their teeth cleaned. It's like, well, we've learned a lot more and they're living longer. And we know that bad teeth can be a source of pain and infection for the entire body, affecting the kidneys in particular. And even if they're older, even if they have bad kidney disease, they can still go under general anesthesia safely as long as they're monitored closely.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they need to be on IV fluids, and as a veterinarian, we need to keep their blood pressure normal. We need to keep their body temperature normal, but there's things that we can do to do that. And what we're trying to do under anesthesia is keep the blood flow and the oxygen to the kidneys the same as if they were awake. And as long as we do that, then the risk of any additional damage to their kidneys under anesthesia is prevented. But, you know, the pet owner definitely needs to allow the veterinarian to take this additional care while the pet is under anesthesia.
You brought up Dr. Robertson diet, and that seems to be an area of a lot of controversy amongst veterinarians of, okay, you need to have a low protein diet. No, you need to have a higher protein diet. No, you need to start it before they even start showing signs of any type of kidney disease. What are your feelings on protein and diet?
Well, one of the first things I really want to emphasize is that the prescription kidney diets that are available are more than just, and I'm going to call it controlled protein, not, they're controlled amounts of protein that, you know, most nutritionists and veterinary nephrologists believe contain enough protein as long as the pet is eating enough calories to maintain that pet's muscle mass. In addition, maybe more important than the protein is that they have restricted amounts of phosphorus. They're supplemented with potassium, which is important in cats. They're supplemented with antioxidants and omega-3 fatty acids. So we really need to look at these kidney diets as a package deal. And I think as a profession, we probably need to stop focusing on the fact that they're protein restricted. I mean, that said, the pet food companies are looking at that to see whether they can have those other attributes with maybe a little bit more protein. But I think that I was just just at a symposium 2 weeks ago with a number of leading nephrologists and nutritionists, and there's very, in that group, very good consensus that a kidney disease is the right diet for these pets, especially when they're in IRIS stage 2 or above. Any controversy that exists at all with the specialists in this area is with those stage 1 early cats. And now that we have SDMA as a tool to diagnose these animals, it gives the profession the ability to do some more research on what is the best diet for those cats and dogs. And preliminary research in those animals that has been published, it's starting to look like that kidney diet still might be the best diet even for those animals. So I think we're going to learn a lot more over the coming few years on that early group of pets with kidney disease. But I feel very strongly that kidney diet is the right diet for pets with kidney disease, and it's certainly what I'm feeding my cat, Digger.
And that's awesome that Digger is willing to eat it, because I know with my own cat, I tried and I could never convince her that this was something she was going to eat. So congratulations, Digger, for being smarter than my kitty was.
Well, I think they've also made some changes over the years, not to be a pet food advocate, but, you know, there's the new stews, the major companies now. You know, it used to be a big glob out of a can, and now they kind of look like fancy feasts. So they've gotten a lot more palatable over the years, and they're constantly being reformulated to be tastier to our pets. So, you know, the pet food companies are aware of that, and they're really trying to make these diets so that our pets accept them.
Great. All along, we've been talking about IDEX and this SDMA test, and it's available. It's wonderful. You'll catch this kidney disease, whether or not it's acute or it's chronic, much earlier and have a greater chance of stabilizing, possibly reversing. But can all veterinarians run this test?
Yes. I mean, it's available through IDEX Reference Laboratories, and which is available to all veterinarians. That's how it's being performed right now. And then later this year, it will also be available for veterinarians that have our in-house instruments. They'll be able to run it in their clinic as well. So it's widely available to all veterinarians. Your listeners just need to, you know, ask your veterinarian for the IDEX SDMA test to be run part of their routine blood work, whether they're healthy or sick, because again, the benefit of SDMA is to find kidney disease when you're not even suspecting it and catching it early.
Do you have any stories? Can you think of any examples where they weren't expecting it, or they ran this SDMA test and said, oh my goodness, we found a abnormality, treated the pet, and it's now doing fabulously?
Yes, of course. How much time do you have? No.
Give me your two.
I have several examples, but let me give you a few quick ones. So, because we were talking about pre-anesthetics, I actually have a couple of those. So, Molly is a Shih Tzu, and she had an increased SDMA on her pre-anesthetic blood work as a puppy before she was spayed. So that's why at the beginning of this interview, I really did want to emphasize that we shouldn't just run this on older pets, because Molly had it increased as a puppy, and the veterinarian did do then a urine culture, and it was positive for E. coli, and she had an ultrasound, and they found evidence that she had a kidney infection. And so she was treated with antibiotics for her kidney infection, which resolved, and her SDMA went back to normal. And just think what might have happened if the vet hadn't found that and just had gone ahead and anesthetized her without taking any precautions, because sometimes that happens in, you know, really young animals. You don't really expect a problem under anesthesia. You know, that could have been quite devastating.
And she wasn't showing signs of a urinary tract infection either, I gather.
No, she had, you know, had a couple accidents in the house, but she was a puppy, so the owner thought that that was normal. And it maybe was, because usually you don't have accidents from a kidney infection, that's from a bladder infection. So that was one example. And another was, again, another pre-anesthetic. I have others, but an older cat, Jimmy, who went to his vet, he was 13, just for his annual wellness. And of course, the vet found dental tartar and gingivitis, recommended a teeth cleaning. And then when they did their lab testing, they had an increased SDMA. Fortunately, there was no underlying infection or anything found, so they were able to take precautions under anesthesia, like we've already talked about, and Jimmy did great under anesthesia, and then Jimmy was put on, you know, the special kidney diet and is doing well to this day, as far as I know. and another dog, Scarlet. Scarlet, actually, we ran SDMA on her before it was in all of our labs. She was kind of one of our beta clinics. So she had an increased SDMA test almost 3 years ago now. She's still alive, but at the time she was a 5-year-old golden retriever. And based on her SDMA test coming back high, she was ultimately diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, and it looked like she'd had a kidney infection earlier in her life when the vet thought she just had a bladder infection and had been treated, but there was some lasting damage to her kidneys. So it's now 3 years later, she's on a kidney diet and she continues to do well, and her SDMA is just hovering at the cutoff. Sometimes it's a little above it, sometimes it's a little below it, but she has very stable chronic kidney disease.
That is absolutely fabulous. So listening to all this, sounds like SDMA is definitely the test that we all want to have run on our pets, young, middle age, or older. It sounds like it's extremely effective, sensitive, accurate, and it must cost a fortune. So I know it's going to vary depending on where a pet owner right now is listening to this particular podcast. But in general, how much by itself, not involved in a panel, is an SDMA test?
Well, that's going to be hard for me to say based on what veterinarian will charge their pet owner, but I'll tell you that it costs no more than any other normal chemistry test at our lab. So it's hard for me to say what an individual veterinarian will charge, but again, this test costs kind of the same as if you were just going to run a liver enzyme or run the older test for kidney disease. So it is not some fancy, expensive test. It took a lot of research to develop, but now it's, you know, being run on our normal chemistry analyzers at the lab. Soon it's going to be run on the normal chemistry analyzer in the clinic. So it kind of costs the same amount as any other test would cost.
Bottom line, it's an investment that's well worth it to keep that pet as healthy as possible, as long as possible. And it's not going to be thousands or hundreds of dollars. So thank you, IDEX, for doing this.
You're welcome. I mean, IDEX really, it's an innovative company, and really we are looking at the best interests of, you know, I work for IDEX. I'm proud to work for IDEX. We're looking to really continually advance the standard of medical care for pets, and the IDEX SDMA test is just another example of how we hope, you know, how we are trying to contribute to the veterinary community and ultimately to the well-being of, you know, pets out in practice. And again, my own pets benefit as well.
Well, this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor, and I've had the privilege of speaking today with Dr. Jane Robertson from IDEX Laboratory. So thank you very much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to be the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.